Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Liverpool is Jenny Radcliffe. Jenny is known as the People Hacker. And Jenny, first, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure as well. Now, first, as I mentioned, you are known as the People Hacker. What does that mean?
So most people know and think of hackers as very technical criminals, really, usually young men in black hoodies working with computers to infiltrate business. But I don't work with computers. I work with the mind, so psychology, with persuasion and influence methods, and also some physical infiltration. So that would be physically breaking alarm systems or persuading my way, you know, persuasion and influence into premises. So a journalist years ago interviewed me and said, oh, so you hack the people then rather than the tech. And yeah, and so I thought I'll steal that because that's actually a really good description of what it is.
Bravo, good choice. Now, if you know what you're doing, it seems it's pretty easy to hack people. Why are we so easy to hack?
So The problem is that because we're human, we have human characteristics and traits, both from our physiology, so anatomy based, and also from the way our brains work. So for example, all human beings under certain stressful conditions, heart rate would go up or would sweat a little bit more, that type of thing. But also in our brains, we react in certain ways to emotions. So for example, when we're feeling very emotional in some way, our logic and our capacity for good decision making drops. So emotion kicks logic off the cliff. And when that happens, things like phishing emails that make you, you know, frightened that you owe some sort of traffic fine, or happy because you think you've won a competition, or you're receiving maybe a new romantic partner. All of those things are ways in which human beings respond to certain stimuli. And because we're all human, we're all subject to that. We all have these vulnerabilities. And that makes us simple to hack. Easy is probably the wrong way, because it has to be quite tailored, you know, to what you know, the type of scam you fall for, Adam, might not be the type of scam that I fall for, because culture comes into it and jobs and all sorts of things. But generally speaking, it's the things that make us human that makes us vulnerable. And that's really why human beings are a good target for hackers.
Fascinating. And I love what you just said, emotion kicks logic off the cliff. I imagine stress does the same thing too.
That's right. And I mean, that's one of the reasons during the pandemic, when everyone got sent, you know, to work from home, that phishing emails, not just the attempt of phishing emails that went up, but, you know, the successful phishing emails went up, because when people are asked, you know, why would you click on something that you were suspicious of? They give two reasons. They say the number one reason is if they're distracted. Well, when we all work from home and our families and our dogs and our children and the, you know, delivery people are constantly disturbing us, you know, when we're away from our offices, distraction is one of the things that makes us click on emails or click on links that we wouldn't normally click on and that we'd normally be suspicious of. But also, of course, the whole world was very stressed. It was a very stressful situation, and we weren't sure, you know, people were frightened, and we weren't sure which information was quite accurate and true. And that still happens a little bit now. So what we have is fear, uncertainty and doubt coming into the equation, add into the stress, add into that the fact that we're all distracted. You've got sort of a perfect storm really for hackers. So yeah, emotion kicks logic off the cliff. Stress and distraction are good reasons for people to do things that they wouldn't normally do, to make decisions that perhaps are not in their best interests.
So that leads naturally into my next question, and I'll borrow a computer phrase for it, but basically, how can we help build cognitive firewalls for people around themselves to keep them from being hacked?
So there's a couple of things there, really. I mean, I always talk about four red flags, Okay, and so these are the four things to look out for, and whether it's cognitive, I don't know. It's kind of like if we talk about cognitive biases, just because we're aware of them, doesn't mean that we can stop them. Just because we know that emotion reduces our logic, our decision making, doesn't mean we can stop becoming emotional. It's a very difficult thing to control. But what we can control is how we react to things and be more suspicious. So I always say there's four red flags. So the four things to look out for in any approach, whether that was in an email, whether that was in a telephone call, whether that's someone kind of making friends or making contact over social media or even in person. If any content that you see makes you emotional in any way. So if you're happy, if you're excited, if you feel guilty, that's how ransomware sometimes works. We've got files and we're not going to let them go. Or maybe we saw you on an inappropriate site. Even if that's not true, it kind of plays to emotion. We get a bit frightened, we get a bit, worried that perhaps something has been created. So anything that makes us emotional in any way, we need to step back and take some time and really think about it. Now, add to that the other three. So, the minute anyone mentions money of any shape or form, whether it's their money, your money, transferring money, keeping money safe, requirements, that's a red flag. As is anything that makes you, that asks you to do something quickly or anything that calls you to action. So, click on the link, open the attachment, give me personal information. All of those things, emotion, urgency, calls to action, and money, really, that's your firewall, because then we can get emotional. It's hard to stop us getting emotional. It's hard to stop these things, these psychological levers being pressed. But if we're aware that that's happening, we don't act on them. And that's really the firewall that you can put up around yourself for the majority of approaches.
Good advice for training the workforce and also for keeping in mind for our own selves and our own protection. Now, one of the areas you focus on is corporate culture. In the compliance context, that typically turns to issues of whether or not people believe in playing things cleanly or pushing the legal limits. What's the nexus between culture and security?
So, I mean, there's a couple of things. So there's two things I'd say. The first thing is that the culture of an organization will dictate how you are hacked. Okay. So most of the phishing emails, most of the approaches that come through to organizations, and just to say, if you think I'm focusing too much on phishing here, remember that 75% of all organizations worldwide, according to Verizon's report, report phishing emails. So it's like it's a you will have been phished. Those things, those emails, that those approaches are researched. So for example, a hierarchical organization, the hackers might use authority principles. So we have a lot of respect for hierarchy in this company. We go by the rules. So the type of approach you get, the type of hack you get, will fit with that culture, right? So it'll be something that maybe names the boss or uses fear of reproach to make sure it gets to you. Whereas a younger kind of less rule-driven culture will use something that fits with that. So maybe something to do with a social activity, that type of thing. So first of all, the culture you have dictates the hack you'll invite. So we have to really be, understand that there is definite connections there. But I think more particularly, it's the issue of blame. So the real link between how secure you are, the culture of your organization is how is our attitude to how we treat people when they've been hacked or when they've been conned. So are they more scared of being blamed by the company for doing something wrong than they are of reporting a mistake? So really, it's our attitude to our employees. It's how open we are. It's how aware they are of what they do when they think they've made a mistake or that they might have been hacked, that really dictates how serious security breaches will be. Because if you have that open culture where people aren't ashamed or frightened of holding their hand up and say they make a mistake, then that will stop things in their tracks. So even if they get through, even if someone does get hacked, even if something comes through and manages to get into your network, we know that it's there early. We can slow them down. We can limit the damage. And that would be true of something like ransomware as well, which is huge right now. So the link, really, the nexus between security and culture is how we treat our employees. It's what we, our attitude towards mistakes and towards the fact that people are, to get back to our first point, that people are human and not perfect and need help sometimes.
And going back to the human aspect, you know, if somebody has been clicked on the wrong email, fallen for a phishing attack, they're likely to feel quite ashamed and, you know, have to admit they did something that they shouldn't have. And, you know, going back to your discussions about human behavior, there's few things we as a species hate than feeling we're wrong about something. And there's a tremendous amount, I'm sure, of feelings of shame and anger and self-doubt by people already. It's not good to pile on. Now, so far we've discussed the risks from the well-meaning employee who is engineered into doing something he or she shouldn't. How can organizations protect themselves from the insider with nefarious intentions?
So it's a really difficult one because, you know, someone who is in deep cover, someone who's an insider threat, that's quite a commitment from that person. It usually indicates a lot of determination. And I mean, there's two things, really. There's prevention. So we need to understand and work with employees. We need to really know employees very well at line manager level, so that we recognise behaviour that's out of character. We recognise behaviour that's, you know, unusual for that person that might indicate stress. And like, just to give you a really good example of this, we are coming towards back towards returning to work in some way, to this so-called hybrid model of working. And a lot of companies don't realize the extent to which people have now realized that working from home can actually be effective. So if we push people, if companies push employees and say, no, you've got to do that commute again, you've got to be in the office all day, every day during the week, and they realise that they're going to be missing dinner with family and birthday parties and things like that, we're in danger of creating disgruntled employees. And so so one of the things is, don't create it in the first place. You know, listen to what employees, listen to what works for employees, listen to them when they, you know, when they say, this job can be done from a flexible work model, so that we don't make people unhappy about working for us. That's the first thing. But you know, we can't always prevent certain people from being unhappy. Some people will be unhappy no matter what you did. And so what we need to do is we need to really know all of our teams at line manager level, even if it's a huge company. Know your people better than the bad guys. Make sure that you understand what's normal for them, so that you can see when there's an anomaly, when there's a change of normal behavior, and we can analyze what that is and check in and make sure they're okay and make sure that it's not something unusual that we really need to be aware of. Now, that along with some technical solutions should do the majority of the heavy lifting to prevent insider threats.
Well, Jenny, this is fascinating. I wish we had more time to discuss this, because, you know, there's so much here to learn, you know, and honestly, to me, it goes back to the fact that there's so many levels of complexity to human nature that we need to understand to really both handle this issue and also just be better at understanding what's going through people's minds and be able to hopefully avoid problems and problematic thinking before it gets really out of control. So thank you for sharing these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turtletop from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.